Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is an important week in history in that this week we celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, on Good Friday, we remember crucifixion with joy only because of what happened when Jesus Christ is resurrected that Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago. If Christ had not risen, there would be no joy in crucifixion. We would not wear the cross as a symbol of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We would not celebrate communion with joy and conviction, the broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of our sins. Would not be a joyous event if Christ had not risen from the dead. Never mistake the fact that if you take resurrection out of the Bible, you have a torn and tattered document, devoid of all meaning, devoid of all hope. So all this week, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you do not have our resurrection package, go to the web for your gift, the flip chart, as well as The Third Day, a book which teaches you not only to defend the reality of Christ's resurrection, but to apply that resurrection to your own life. Because without it, you have no hope, plain and simple. So go to the web, get the resurrection package. And while I am focused all this week in my own devotional time on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I must say this is going to be a very important week for other reasons as well. For example, a new movie coming out this week, Wednesday, Heaven is for Real. I'm going to be talking about it because, quite frankly, it is an unadulterated perversion. I will cash that out later on this week, perhaps an answer to question in monologues in my daily e-truth. I want to cash that out for you. That may sound like a very strong statement, but trust me, it's not strong enough. The facts will follow. Also, starting tonight, we have the April 15th, 2014, Blood Moon, the first of the four blood moons. They will be followed by another blood moon, October 8th, 2014, then one April 4th, 2015, then September 28th, 2015. And those four blood moons are significant for reasons that God disdains, because the blood moon idea has been perverted. Perverted by people who occupy big pulpits in the land. People who are grossly misrepresenting the facts. For example, John Hagee, and he's not the only one. He says that the tetrads, having to do with the four blood moons, invariably occurred in history in correspondence with significant events relating to the Jewish people. For example, he says the first blood moon of a tetrad relates to the 1967 Six-Day War, but in reality, it didn't occur until almost a year after the Six-Day War had ended. So if it is a warning, it kind of came late. Not only that, but the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, and thus, when eclipses happen, they inevitably will occur in the context of a Jewish festival. And we're pattern-seeking people, and here again, there's a pattern that is sought out, but the pattern is now applied to the text of Scripture. When the Scripture says nothing that the books written by these powerful evangelical ministers are saying. Let me go on record, the purveyors of current four blood moon hysteria are false prophets on par with Harold Camping. It's been well said, they're having their Harold Camping moments. John Hagee is predicting that the coming four blood moons point to world-shaking events that will happen between April 2014 and October 2015. Now that's really setting a date. He says something is going to happen that will change world history forever. He says that the four blood moons mean that we are running out of time. He says when the moon is eclipsed, it is a sign of God's judgment on the enemies of Israel. And again, he's not alone. Mark Blitz, who's literally blitzing the talk shows, wrote the original four blood moons. It's called Blood Moons. Jim Baker of PTL Infamy calls it the most important book of the times. Said, I thought he had made a turn for the better. Evidently not. But what these people are doing, Hagee and company, is subverting the natural use of the heavenly bodies that God ordains for a superstitious use that God disdains. In other words, the heavenly bodies are used to separate day and night. Biblically, they're serving as signs to mark seasons and days and years, to give light on the earth. But this now is being subverted for superstition. Plain old superstition. And in the process, these purveyors of false teachings are involved in gross misrepresentation of the Holy Scriptures themselves. Plain and simple, nowhere in the biblical text is there any reference to four blood moons. In fact, the sun and the moon language in Isaiah 13 is judgment language. And it's fulfilled. It's apocalyptic judgment language. It's fulfilled. And no one can gainsay that reality. In Isaiah 13, that language is used with respect to the Medes and the Persians conquering the Babylonians, putting out the glories of the Babylonian Empire. And then Jesus in the New Testament uses that language with respect to the judgment that is going to befall Jerusalem. When Joel says that the moon will be turned to blood, he's not speaking literalistically, but he's actually talking about something that's going to happen in the future. And Peter says that the language of Joel was fulfilled in his time. So these men who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips have turned the blood moons into a cottage industry. They're profiteering on the gullibility of Christians. Christians who should be focused on resurrection are now focused this week on the titillating events of what is going to happen in the sky. And some are anguished because they're being told by their preachers that this portends perhaps the end of the world as we know it, because the rapture is going to happen. I watched with utter horror the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and quite frankly, I haven't been able to watch the Trinity Broadcasting Network for a long time. It just seems, well, almost moronic. I was watching Perry Stone and Irving Baxter and a whole bunch of these guys, this Mark Blitz, debating end times. And their abuse of Scripture was almost, well, not almost, it was terrifying. And quite frankly, in my position, I sometimes feel like giving up. I mean, these men occupy huge platforms. And if you try to gainsay what they say, you have hell to pay. And so I was very delighted once again when I came into the office today and first thing read a letter that says, words cannot express the thanks I feel for finding the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I truly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is using your ministry to bring forth His Word in uncompromising fashion, with gentleness, with respect, as we are instructed to do. You have cleared up many of my questions by your answers to others, as well as your clear explanations of many controversial issues that are haunting our churches today. Thank you again for not compromising on God's word and purpose. Keep up the great work you are doing. I am proud to give this donation to the ministry, and it was a rather large donation, and I was very grateful for it because this month we are again substantially behind. Now, sometimes this early in the month, it's hard to say what's going to happen by the time the month ends, but it does send up alarm flares. And again, it can be discouraging because when you say something about heaven is for real, people say, for Pete's sakes, how can you argue with a 3-year-old boy? At least he was 3 years old when he had the experience. I mean, it's such a warm, fuzzy, wonderful story. But what this portends is devastating. Again, maybe tomorrow, maybe the following day, I don't know. But sometime this week, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why it is devastating. And I make no apology for that word, devastating. Because if true, the implications are dramatic for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And yet, millions of Christians are consuming this stuff uncritically. That's not hyperbole. This book has been on the bestseller list from almost its inception, and now a major motion picture. It is going to dramatically impact the body of Christ, but not in a good way. It's going to dramatically impact the body of Christ in a bad way unless you develop discernment skills. The ability to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and life. All of this is part of what I call the Osteenification of American Christianity. Whether it's John Hagee or Joseph Prince or Mark Blitz or Perry Stone, the list goes on. The Bible is being abused. The glory of the cross is being abused. transformed into the gory, gaudy, gross perversion of consumerism. I want to remind everybody as we go to break and then to your calls, the Ostinification of American Christianity is now out on CD. I just got the CD package in today. We developed them, but they're now in the building and we're sending them out to people that have ordered them. You can order your copy of the Ostinification of American Christianity on CD or get the download at equip.org. And please do remember all this month, as we're dealing with controversial issues, issues that have lasting impact on the body, that we need your financial support and your prayers. Without them, I cannot continue to do what I do. We rely on God's people to support this ministry prayerfully and financially. We'll be right back with answers to your questions.
As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead, one taken, the other left. Who will be left behind? Is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them. That's why we want to help you stand for truth by sending you a copy of a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Let's hear more from your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone callers now. Marvin in Fort Washington, Maryland, listening on NRB television. Hi, Marvin.
Yes, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I have kind of a two-question part. And I always had a kind of problem with this. In Matthew 7, verse 15, when it talks about beware the false prophets, and you'll know them by their fruit. And then when he goes into verse 21, and when it says, every man that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Now, basically, it's talking about salvation, correct?
Yes. I mean, there are false prophets, and those false prophets are prophets that masquerade as shepherds. They're in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, and therefore they are not real followers of Jesus Christ. And I think, quite frankly, that when Jesus was using this language, he may have in view Judas, the quintessential example, because Judas was one of the 12. He was in the inner circle of Jesus Christ. And if we would have followed Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, we would have thought, wow, I want to be like Judas. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's delivering people from demons. He is doing miracles. He is in that inner cloister of followers of Jesus Christ. Wow, I want to be like Judas. But Jesus says that many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, but... And the but is that Judas is not there because he loves the master. He's there because he loves all that is on the master's table. So Christ to him is not the end. He is merely a means to his end.
Right. And the reason I say it, and I'm going to be bold with it, I look at the guys, the T.D. Jakes, the Joel Osteen's, the Creflo Dollars. I look at, and I could be wrong, I might be out of line, but I look at those men are the one, because they teach another gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and I feel like, I don't know if we can name those guys. I know it say be aware, you should know them by their fruit. And a lot of times people look at fruit and the material things, the big mega churches, they think that they're prosperous. But I don't believe that Jesus was talking about as material things. It's about the doctrine of what they proclaim and what they say about our Lord Jesus Christ. Is I'm correct in that?
You are. And I mean, I think that when you have people who are communicating spiritual cyanide by the megadose over the public airwaves, there's every right to name them, to call them out. I mean, that's why I wrote the Osteenification of American Christianity. Osteenification, an umbrella term, if you will, to talk about these teachers who are abusing the Word of God. I can't speak to their motivation. Maybe it's for their own gain. Maybe it's precisely as it was with Judas. They don't really love the Master. They love what is on the Master's table. But for certain, they are misrepresenting the Word of God, which is a serious matter. Not only that, but they're making false predictions over and over again. I mean, listen to this. Here's one where Benny Hinn is making a false prediction with respect to homosexuality. And before I play this clip, I want to note that the Bible's clear in terms of placing parameters around our lives so that our lives might be fulfilled. But when Benny Hinn starts to prophesy in terms of what's going to happen to homosexuals, he's simply dead wrong.
The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire. And many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed.
So here's how he starts out, just to recapitulate what just happened. Benny Hinn says, and I played this clip of something that happened before, so we can see whether it's true or false. He says that no later than 95, the Lord tells me. In other words, God spoke to Benny and said, no later than 95, God is going to destroy the homosexual community in America. Now, that prophecy did not come to pass, number one. Number two, can you imagine what you heard in the background? People were applauding that. Why would we applaud that? God called us to be salt and light, to reach out to the very people that he reached out to, broken, lost sinners, just like I am. I'm redeemed, but I'm still a broken sinner. I'm covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. I thank God that no church service started applauding the fact that I was going to be destroyed because I was a sinner. But then he tells you exactly how God is going to destroy the homosexual community. None of that came to pass. So was God wrong, or did Benny not really have this conversation with God? And this is not the worst of it. He takes the essentials of the historic Christian faith, he compromises, confuses, or outright contradicts them. You mentioned T.D. Jakes. He does the same thing. He prostitutes the Word of God for his own purposes. Here's an example.
Did you know the Bible said you shall have whatever you say? Now, don't you say that if you don't want no increase. If all you want is what you had, don't say that anymore. But if you want something beyond what you've ever seen, shout increase. The power of life and death is in your tongue. When you open your mouth, you release power all over the world. Shout increase.
Now, if those people who are shouting increase really got what the preacher said they would get, they would already have the wealth of the wicked, because that's what they are being promised by T.D. Jakes and many others. I was listening, I'm not even going to mention his name because, quite frankly, he's done a lot of good. But I was listening to another preacher on Christian radio just last week, and he was talking about how all of us who are believers are going to be the head and not the tail, that we're ultimately going to have the wealth of the wicked. It's going to be given to us if we properly utilize the word of faith. In fact, he was saying that we can look at the wicked person driving the Bentley or the Rolls Royce or the Cadillac or the Mercedes-Benz or whatever, fill in the blank. We can say that Cadillac, Mercedes-Benz, whatever, is really not yours. You're only driving what I'm going to possess. And on it goes. So these people are abusing the Word of God, but what they're ultimately doing is making merchandise out of the people of God, because they're proclaiming a message that overpromises and underperforms. I was doing a radio interview earlier today, And I was talking about Joel Osteen because that was what the interview was about. It was the Osteenification of American Christianity. And I was recalling the fact, and I was thinking about this as I was doing the interview. You know, he's talking about a guy who dies in his church, a faithful church worker, because he used the wrong words, and therefore he was snared by the words of his mouth. So he takes a scripture out of Proverbs 6, he prostitutes it into this notion that this person died at an early age because of what he said. He was making a negative confession. Now imagine the impact that kind of statement has on the family of that man, who most surely know Joel Osteen because this guy was a faithful worker in the Osteen camp. It's absolutely devastating, tragic. But these things are said with a bright smile, and somehow or other, people do not see this darker hue. And if you say anything about it, they pull their support. Well, I supported you for a lot of years, but I'm not going to support you anymore. Why? Because you said something about Joel Osteen. He's a man of God. Not only a man of God, but there's a pastor right in our community who calls him a great man of God. He's got one of the largest churches in Charlotte. Calls Joel Osteen not just a man of God, but a great man of God. How anyone can say that when you read his bestsellers and find that page after page after page, he perverts the Word of God. He says the Scripture says, and the Scripture says exactly the opposite. And this doesn't take a budding theologue to figure out. All you have to do is actually go to the passage. Whoa, that's not what the Scripture says. It says just the opposite. He starts at the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, God's quintessential pronouncement of judgment becomes positive self-affirmation. Who told you that there was something wrong with you? Who told you that you couldn't succeed? Who told you that you wouldn't have financial riches? And on it goes.
Right.
This is prostitution of the Word of God. Should we care? Yes. Should we be passionate? Yes. Where does the gentleness and respect come in? Well, we need to communicate what we communicate with passion nonetheless. Why? Because the lives of people are at stake.
That's right. That's right. That's right, Hank. Like you said, people start supporting you. A lot of my family members, they when I get to talking about them people, they start calling me a heretic or you one minded. You're not losing an open mind. Those guys are really. I say no, they are not. They are not given with sound doctrine. The guys like you, the John MacArthurs, the Tony Evans, the men that I look up to, y'all are my heroes in the faith. You know that stand strong and get biblical truth.
Well, I appreciate your kind comments, and I appreciate your call so much. I mean, this kind of perversion within the body of Christ has to be called out for what it is. And again, it's not about the teachers. I mean, so often when we talk about the teachers, we forget that the real issue is the impact of these teachers on multiplied millions of lives. The whole tenor of American Christianity is being perverted as we speak. All the while, these guys are talking about the world and how bad the world is, but quite frankly, it's not about the world. It's about the fact that we're no longer salt and light. We have been conformed to the world. We are the world ourselves. We're using Christ as a means to our ends. Again, this is the reason I was so passionate about writing The Osteenification of American Christianity. Still available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with answers to your questions in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Many people carry around highly destructive beliefs about God that are endorsed by popular atheists of our day. And tragically, they never truly experience intimacy with the Creator of their souls. We want to help you see through any lies you might carry around about God with a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called, Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Is hacker activism the most heroic use of the internet? Liberating data, exposing lies, speaking truth to power? Or is it the most corrupting side of cyberspace? Stealing data, telling secrets, and endangering citizens? Although hacktivism has received much media attention, it has received little moral scrutiny. Other topics include Darwin's doubt and the case for intelligent design, the Ten Commandments of apologetics, was Hitler a Christian, same-sex marriage and today's church, is it silly to believe in Noah's flood, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. It's often the most vitriolic notions of God that get the most play in academia, politics, media, and thus, the home. And that's why many people carry around untrue beliefs about Him. But we want to help you see truth clearly by sending you a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Keith. He's listening in Topeka, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Keith. Hello, Keith. Are you there? Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Dan.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. I was just giving a call. I actually work in live in Kansas City, but working over in the park. And I wanted to talk to just briefly about something that's come to my attention here recently, and something I've dedicated to. And it's come to my knowledge that we're actually kind of following from the doctrine of men instead of the doctrines of God when it comes to Easter. some of the study and research that I've been doing has come up with some interesting reports. And I just wanted to get your take on it. Constantine, the Nicene Council, Easter, bunny rabbits, eggs, and all this. When I did all the research, you know, it really appeared to me like we're really mixing paganism with Christianity, and from the roots of that come back all the way to the days of Nimrod and Babylon, ancient Babylon. So I wanted to get your take on that, because I mean, I know that I'm just kind of starting to do my research on it, but I'd love to hear your opinion on all this stuff and how it works together.
Well, in doing your research on Constantine and what happened in the 4th century, what did you find out?
Well, he had instituted some rules and stated that he wanted to start celebrating this Easter. He was an anti-Semite. He definitely did not like the Jews, called them rabble, amongst other things, and did not want to have anything to do with any of their holy days. And so he kind of coincided these, he instituted these, like Easter, to coincide with the Passover, which was the most important day for the, that was really an important day for God. God said, this is the Passover, remember this for all times. And then his son actually came and died on the Passover. So I'm trying to bring it all together.
Just one other question, and I'll answer your question, but what about the Council of Nicaea? What did you find out about that in 325 AD?
You know, I didn't get into the council as much as some of the things that were instituted there. The council kind of put together some of these rules. I didn't get into what some of the other things that they were doing at that time, and I know that they had met several times, but I didn't get into a lot of what they did. But I know that it really changed and kind of set the bar for Christianity and Catholicism and many other things. And they even instituted bishops to tell us what the Word of God was saying.
Well, the reason I asked you these questions, Dan, not to interrupt you, but the reason I asked these questions, and I have enough background now from your answer, is just to warn you to be wary of historical revisionism. I think it's very good for you to be concerned about the fact that the celebration of Easter has been impacted by paganism again. But in saying that, I don't think that we want to fall for the rhetoric of historical revisionists, because the first ecumenical or church-wide council in church history, or the Council of Nicaea, was actually convened by Constantine in response to Arianism. And so more than 300 bishops, mostly from the East, almost unanimously condemned Arianism and declared that Christ was of one substance with the Father. That's what happened at the Council of Nicaea. And we have all kinds of things being introduced in terms of what happened there that never happened there at all. And that's what I call historical revisionism. One of the reasons that the word Easter is used is the sun arises from the east, and as a result of that, the Eastern Orthodox, for one, called the celebration of Christ's resurrection Easter. But whatever you call it, what is seminal, what is important is this, that we are celebrating the greatest event in human history. Christ having the power to lay down his life and take it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God, and thus ensuring that we too will rise from the dead. So while we should not pollute our celebration with pagan ritual, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We shouldn't therefore say, let's not celebrate resurrection. No, let's celebrate it. In fact, do you realize that every Sunday, and we could say something about the word Sunday as well, but every Sunday, what we are celebrating is the rest we have in Jesus Christ, who overcame death and the grave through the power of resurrection. So every week we are celebrating Easter. And once a year, we have 40 days of Lent that focuses our mind on the centrality of Scripture. What I said in the prologue, of the broadcast, if you take resurrection out of the Bible, you have a document that is completely devoid of meaning. You can take a lot of other things out of the Bible, but you take resurrection out, and you've taken the heart out. So we should celebrate Easter, but as you have correctly said in the prologue to the question, we shouldn't pollute it with all kinds of pagan accoutrements.
And, you know, I go to two different churches, and one is more of a Messianic Jewish church, and one is a Baptist church, local Baptist church. I love them both. But I learn a lot about the Jewish history at the one, and you know Jesus celebrated Passover, and I find it intriguing that we're following institutions of men as opposed to ordinances of God, and that we are being conformed to the image of this world. The paganism and the egg and all the fable about the egg falling in the Nile, and that's where all the humanity came from, and then we're mixing this egg in with our celebration and having the kids chase this around in the yard as fun, treat to do with the kids and the fluffiness and the fun. And it's so deeply rooted that when I said, you know what, this year I'm going to celebrate Passover, and I'm gonna have my first Seder tonight. And so when I told some of my family members, please don't bring eggs, you know, bunnies and baskets for these things. I said, I don't want to be fundamental about it, but I really want to honor God through this and for preparation for our time to tabernacle or sukkah together. And so there was so much resistance to that.
Reason that there is resistance to that is that one of the things that Hebrews warns us about is that we shouldn't go back to types and shadows that have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, the Passover is fulfilled in the ultimate sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate this week the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, which is the hope of the believer. So from a historical standpoint, the feast days have significance, but if we go back to those types and shadows and fail to recognize that they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, then we do that to our harm. For example, to go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, is said by the writer of Hebrews to be tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So remember that there is historical significance, but only as we see Jesus Christ being the one who fulfills the types and shadows. And now, what do we do in remembrance of Jesus Christ? Well, we celebrate communion. We do that in honor of his broken body and shed blood for the complete remission of sins.
Hank, do you not feel like inviting Easter eggs and Easter bunnies into the church on a day you're supposed to be celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection and victory over death of Christ? Do you not feel that to be equal or greater than?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, I think that it's, well, I don't know how you can get equal to or greater than trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. I was quoting the biblical text. But as I said earlier, I think it is important for us to recognize that we should not pollute the celebration of the greatest event in the history of Scripture, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We should not pollute that in any way. So I would agree with that part of it. But again, going back to the writer of Hebrews, I don't know how you get any worse than trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And if you go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, that's precisely what the Bible says we're doing.
So in the Old Testament, when it says to observe this as a holy day from now on and for all time, does that, I mean, this is my last question too. I'm just curious, was that just to the Hebrews up until the coming of Jesus? Or was it, I mean, I'm trying to take that, and that's in chapter 12. I'm trying to take that in context.
Yeah, what I'm saying about that, and I think this is instructive, is that there are things that we do as a memorial, but we recognize that those things have a fulfillment. And if we fail to recognize the fulfillment, then we're in gross error. As long as we recognize that Jesus Christ fulfilled civil and ceremonial laws, as long as we recognize that when the ultimate temple has come, we don't go back to a temple built of luminous limestone or glistening gold. I mean, this is the big mistake that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law made. They had the living temple standing in their midst, but they wanted to continue with their traditions when the substance that fulfilled their traditions had come. Written about this in the Apocalypse Code. I'm going to have to leave it at that because I'm flat out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Appreciate your call and passion. Dan, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. A lot of you hanging on. I will get to you. And for the next hour, others can call 888-ASK-HANK. I will take your calls. I will record my answers to your calls and play my answers to your calls in a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I happen to be traveling. So for the next hour, you can call 888-ASK-HANK. And please do not forget my impassioned appeal to support this ministry financially. You're part of the team. We can't do what we do without you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan, called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, Reasonable, and Readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment.
Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead, one taken, the other left, who will be left behind? Is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.